the writer of the book of Hebrews said, the 10th chapter. He said, "But call to remembrance the former days, in which after your illumination, ye endured a great fight of affliction. Partly," King James says, "whilst, partly because ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions." A gazing stock. In other words, they were disdained. They were looked down on because of what they were going through, reproaches and afflictions. And partly because, there's that word whilst again, because you became companions of them that were so used. In other words, because of their illumination and because of what they stepped over into, started beginning to follow the instructions of the leadership of the apostles going forward in the soundness of receiving Christ. They were under tremendous, tremendous persecution by the Judaizers. They were being beat back in every possible way. Denied education, denied free trade. They were cutting them off right where they lived, trying to starve them out. And they were being persecuted in every possible way. And the writer says this, you entered into that as a result of your own choice. But then part of what you went through is just a matter of fact that you were rubbing shoulders with the right people or wrong people, whichever way you want to say it. They were rubbing shoulders with people that chose to say, "No, I won't go back. You can't get me to go back. I will not go back." That's where a lot of you are at. But what does he say? For ye had compassion on me in bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Hallelujah. He said, you've trusted in Christ. Don't go back. Don't go back. Don't choose. Don't choose to settle out of court. No, it doesn't matter how hard it gets, what the fire looks like around you. Don't go back. You cannot settle. Can't settle out of court. But what's out of court? You know, somebody comes, "I'm going to sue your pants off. I've got lawyers and they've got lawyers. And my lawyers, their lawyers have got lawyers and their lawyers have got..." I mean, we're this big juggernaut of a big machine. We're just going to eat you up. That's what he'll threaten. Satan, he threatened because of your choices to go forward to eat you up. A lot of people, whether they know it or not, settling out of court and say, "Well, you know what, if you won't sue me for $50 billion, we'll just go over here and talk. And if you'll sue me for, if you won't make it quite so hard, then I'll back off. I'll back off." But listen. He said this, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of" what? Patience. Hallelujah. 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 Now patience there is a very powerful word. Some have interpreted it as in just in the audience of endurance, which means to them you have need to put up with. That's not what he's saying. The word hufamene means here the force of consistency. It means to do today what you did yesterday before all hell hit. To do today inconsistently. I mean, just consistently put on, as the old timers would say, put your britches on the same way today as you did yesterday and go out the door. Go out the door spiritually. Stay and say, "I don't care what it looks like around me. I don't care how he's threatening my health. I don't care how he's threatening my finances. I do not care how he's threatening my emotions." What he says here, the thing that'll bring you out of it, is the force of consistency. not changing your routine in Christ. If you've developed a place where you know that He is, He's just as much He is in the midst of the darkness as He is in the light. Hallelujah. In fact, Psalms 139 says, the light and darkness are alike to Him. He's right in the middle of all your darkness. He's not the one creating it. I want you to come in just a minute and find the most fantastic, unbelievable part of the vision of the house here and quote it to us or have us say it. And I want you to understand that the best that you can do in this life is continually solicit and excite your senses to understand this. There is nothing too fantastic for this right here. He said, the works that I do, you'll do also. And even greater works you'll do because I go to the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, what's a greater work? I mean, He did most everything. Yeah. The only thing He could not do is preach His own gospel as far as get people born again at that point, because He was the first one to be born of the dead. He's the prototype. You got to have one before you have two. I don't know where I am. I don't know what my number is. But I know this. The greater work is, not only do we get to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, the blind, the lame, the halt, the maimed. I stole this from one of the boys. That's one of their little doodles. To me, it looks like, I said, man, I can use that. I said, what that looks like to me is one of those little squiggly things under a microscope that shows the DNA. Do you know something? When you got born again, your DNA changed. Not your physical DNA, but your spiritual DNA. Jesus said to the man trying to figure it out, He said, You mean I've got to enter the second time into my mother's womb? He's scratching his head. How can a 6 foot, 200-pound man? The ladies are thinking it ain't going to happen. He's not going to be born again. But Jesus clarified and said, no, that which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit. The moment the Holy Ghost entered your old nature, your old spirit, He created a new one. Do you know what He put in there? The whole, if there was such a thing, there's really not, but if there was a spiritual microscope and you could have looked in it 5 minutes earlier, you could have seen those ugly black things running around, those swimmers. What is that? Oh, I can pick it up and it just causes death. It just causes cancer, and it causes mutations, and it causes sin, and it causes people to want to divorce and run here and run there. All kinds of perversions just in one little strand. Because from Adam to Christ, sin reigned. Sin reigned. That's why it says that when He rose up from the dead, He spoiled principalities and powers, making a show of them, triumphing over them openly. How did He do it? It wasn't that He just went down there and kicked the devil in the teeth. What He did was He gave man this. A strand of DNA. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, recreates your old spirit. Now, 5 minutes later, you look over into that microscope, and what is running inside of them? Inside, what Paul said to Timothy, you have not received. He wasn't talking about the Holy Ghost, but he was talking about the new nature. He said, you have not the big S, the little S, same word pneuma, but different place. You have not received. You've not received the Spirit, which is of this world, but you've received the Spirit which is of power and of love and a sound mind. Hallelujah. 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 It has the capacity, when things get absolutely where you feel like there's just no way out of this, it does have the capacity to have 50 billion metric tons placed on it, and it doesn't know a popping, cracking, bursting, I can't live in this world anymore. Take me out of it. It doesn't have a breaking point. Hallelujah. He said, though your faith be as tried as gold, it will not perish. It will not. Gold has a perishing point. Your faith does not. It can be consistent. It can not put on a fake smile, but a real one, and say, "My God, I'm telling you that by your stripes I am healed." Hallelujah. And guess what? You'll walk out of it. Okay, before we sit down, you probably know where the most unbelievable part seems to be to the natural man. "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of a hufamene, that after that you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man will draw back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, "I'm not one of those that draws back." Hallelujah. I'm not one of those that draws back. Steal a mic from that beautiful lady there. Hallelujah. This is just a confession of your faith.
Hallelujah.
Based on the Word.
Amen. We declare.
We declare.
Every captive free.
Every captive free.
Every wheelchair emptied.
Every wheelchair emptied.
Every artificial help.
Every artificial help.
They may need them when they come.
They may need them when they come.
They won't need them when they leave.
They won't need them when they leave.
We'll have them here as trophies.
We will have them here as trophies.
To the glory of Jesus our healer.
To the glory of Jesus our healer.
All manner of sickness.
All manner of sickness.
And all manner of diseases.
And all manner of diseases.
Are healed.
Are healed.
First time.
First time.
Every time.
Every time.
All of them.
All of them.
No exceptions.
No exceptions.
Jesus.
Jesus.
You healed them all then.
You healed them all then.
You heal them all now.
You heal them all now.
That's what we say.
That's what we say.
That's what we have.
That's what we have.
In your name, Jesus.
In your name, Jesus.
Father.
Father.
There are impartations.
There are impartations.
Of your Spirit.
Of your Spirit.
In this place.
In this place.
We declare.
We declare.
These are the most powerful.
These are the most powerful.
The most anointed.
The most anointed.
The most life-changing.
The most life-changing.
The most revival-producing.
The most revival-producing.
Services in history.
Services in history.
Fresh anointings.
Fresh anointings.
Fresh giftings.
Fresh giftings.
Like never before.
Like never before.
Father.
Father.
It is you doing the works.
It is you doing the works.
Therefore.
Therefore.
All things are possible.
All things are possible.
Soul.
Soul.
My soul.
My soul.
I command you.
I command you.
Believe this.
Believe this.
All things are possible.
All things are possible.
Soul.
Soul.
My soul.
My soul.
I command you.
I command you.
Believe this.
Believe this.
Immokalee is in revival.
Immokalee is in revival.
Immokalee is in revival.
Immokalee is in revival.
Therefore.
Therefore.
We lift up.
We lift up.
The bloodstained banner.
The bloodstained banner.
Over this city.
Over this city.
Written in blood.
Written in blood.
On this banner.
On this banner.
Are these words.
Are these words.
Immokalee is in revival.
Immokalee is in revival.
Immokalee is in revival.
Immokalee is in revival.
Jesus is Lord over Immokalee.
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 And where Jesus is Lord.
And where Jesus is Lord.
The Father's will is done.
The Father's will is done.
Therefore, Father.
Therefore, Father.
Have your way.
Have your way.
Not just 30-fold.
Not just 30-fold.
Not just 60-fold.
Not just 60-fold.
But 100-fold.
But 100-fold.
And we say.
And we say.
Lost be saved.
Lost be saved.
Empty be filled.
Empty be filled.
Captives go free.
Captives go free.
Blind see.
Blind see.
Deaf hear.
Deaf hear.
Dumb speak.
Dumb speak.
Lame walk.
Lame walk.
Maimed be whole.
Maimed be whole.
Dead live.
Dead live.
In the name of Jesus.
Name of Jesus.
Father.
Father.
Thine is the kingdom.
Thine is the kingdom.
Thine is the power.
Thine is the power.
Thine is the glory.
Thine is the glory.
Forever and ever.
Forever and ever.
Your will be done in Immokalee.
Your will be done in Immokalee.
Just as it is in heaven.
Just as it is in heaven.
As in heaven.
As in heaven.
So in the earth.
So in the earth.
As in heaven.
As in heaven.
So in Immokalee.
So in Immokalee.
Immokalee is saved.
Immokalee is saved.
Immokalee is saved.
Immokalee is saved.
Hallelujah to your glory, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. All right. Thanks, Gay. 2012 is an opportunity for you. It's an opportunity for you to stand your ground in the Spirit and step up and worship Him. Thank Him that He can get it across to you. And I say it, I'm talking about all that you need financially. He's the one. He's the one that comes and He makes a way where there seems to be no way. Now, the one thing that we found out about our Father was He didn't need something. But what He needs is you. He didn't need. When He was had a dead spirit, those that didn't have one of these, that DNA, said, I'll just show you something out of the old. Wonderful. You do know that they weren't born again. Now, you do know that, right? You do know that He was dealing with people that were dead. They weren't sons and daughters. You do know they didn't have any of these swimmers. And that's when David could get to the brink of something. He could love God with all his heart. Then he couldn't imagine why that he could turn right around and go commit adultery. The power of sin was broken at the cross. But it wasn't just broken collectively. It was broken in you. If you receive Him. That's why it says in Romans 6, sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law. In other words, you're not under that dispensation, but you're under grace. It won't have dominion over you. Why? The guy said, I just didn't want to go in there. I was driving down the road and something come over me and made me pull over and go in there. And I don't know, I found myself several hours later staggering out. I don't know why. Oh no, it's totally impossible. It's totally impossible. Why? Because once you're born again, sin doesn't have the power to make you. Had He come into my house, put me in a full Nelson, body slammed me, threw me on the carpet, and made me say what I said. Mean stuff. No, He can't do that. What you have to finally concede is this. If you did it, you did it because you wanted to. Something was in there. Now, I'll grant you this. Sometimes it feels like under that pressure that you got to go ahead and concede and sin. But you don't have to. If you waited it out, you'd find that grace would come. And I can show you out of the holder, blah, 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 blah. I know. But you do know that God was actually working, if you can say it like this, not that He'll work out of really who He is, but in a certain sense, He worked out of character. Because that's not who He is. That's not His M.O. to deal with sons and daughters. Like what? It sounds like in the old, bring me an offering or I'll kill you. Oh, God. And then do they get a track on that? You see, it says right here, cursed you'll be. Oh, my God, they were already bringing Him offerings. You read Malachi, they were already bringing him offerings. It was just the way they were offering it. Listen, I've come to know him as Daddy. And if this little pumpkin eater right here, my grandbaby, she was sick. She had a fever. And she come to me, Papa. She thought I could do something about it. Papa, would you help me? Would you heal me? Would you cool my fever? I'm sick. Now, this is where a lot of the church is at. Preachers get good mileage off of it because they can buy a bigger Lexus with it. But really, it's sick. What if I, as her papa, said, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it, baby, because I can do it. I can take that fever off of you. But what I want is I want you to go back there, back in your room, and I want you to pick out your most treasured toy. What really you like the best. And I want you to come and I want you to offer it up. Because I got to have something from you. I won't serve a God like that. I won't serve one like that. Because I've come to know Him as Father. He's not concerned what's so much in my hand. It's what's in my heart. He wants you. That's what He wants. He wants you. He wants your adoration. So I found out that my giving was as much a part of worship as anything else. We're not interrupting worship when we say, look inside yourself and offer up out of adoration. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I love You. And since I've learned, come to know You as Daddy, not some etherical God that stands in the universe with a club in His hand waiting to do vengeance against His very own offspring. Father, today, lead us and guide us and cause us to be filled with the joy of giving. We give You all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you're coming, why don't you, we couldn't fellowship too much. You could get up and give somebody a hug, even if you had nothing in hand. It doesn't matter. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Marty, give us something. Hallelujah. And if you've got something, give somebody else a great big hug. Howard, come up here. Big hulk of a man. I said, you big hulk of a man. Bless this as big as you are. You are to bless the heavens and...
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for this offering. We thank You that it's enough. It's enough to do what we need to do for this revival.
Yes.
And we give You the praise and we give You the glory in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank You. See, I'd follow a guy like that, somebody that had a resolve. Believe they could hear from God. Well, maybe it was the better half. I don't know. No, it was both of them. They hear from God and say, you know, how would you like as God visited you like He did Abraham? Said, get up, move, leave. But where are we going? I'll tell you when we get there. You sure? Yeah. Yeah, you're going to be searching. Really, all your life, what it signified was the New Jerusalem, a city. Well, they were kind of like Abraham and Sarah. God told them at a conference in Tulsa, said, when you get there today, you'll meet your new pastor. They didn't know what he looked like. They didn't know he was going to be so handsome. I got one confirmation right up here from my wife. Then Tim had asked me that conference, and I've spoken at many conferences, but I don't think I've ever opened. And he asked me to be the opening speaker. And the Lord had me step up that morning and open up. And when I stood up, they said, "That's him." They didn't even know where I was from. They just said, they were from Illinois. And then they just said, "Lord," in their hearts, they said, "I pray, God, please don't let him be from Alaska or someplace cold. Please, please. Okay, God, we'll do it. We'll do it." They'd already decided. Well, wisdom is justified of her children. A lot of times people say, "I believe it." But then you don't see any result. Do you believe it? "Yes, I know I heard from God." "Well, what are you doing about it?" I just believe it in my heart. Well, then faith without works is dead. There's another side of it you've got to do. Guy was pushing a wheelbarrow across Niagara Falls. Thousands were watching. I've been there. Underneath, that's quite a deal. Quite a natural phenomenon. He pushed it across and the crowds went crazy. My God, they watched him for a half hour walk across that tightrope. And he got onto the other side and he's standing there and they're just cheering him. Great. My God, what a feat. Carry your balance all the way across there, certain death. He looked down at the cheering crowd and he said, picked out a guy. The guy, he said, "Do you believe that I could do what I just did again and go back across?" The guy said, "I do." He said, "You believe it?" He said, "I do. Based on watching you, I know you can do it." He said, "Good. Then jump in the wheelbarrow." Now, wait a minute. You done changed everything now. I don't know that my faith is that strong. You may not be able to get... See, then I'm invested in it. "I know he healed me." Yeah, well, did he? Yes, he did. Well, then get up and do whatever you can. Do what you couldn't do. Even if it's just to move a toe. Lord told Kenneth Hagin when he got up out of the sick bed, he was just a boy laying there dying, came and healed him. He said, "You're healed." You know, Mark 11, that's not really Mark, that's Kenneth Hagin, Mark 11, 23. He's laying there. And the Lord said, sick people don't lay in bed at 12 o'clock in the day. They get up and move around. Hallelujah to God. Sometimes it doesn't feel like. I hadn't forgot about them. Doesn't feel like what you're doing is... I said I'm healed. I say I'm healed. I say I'm healed. Listen. And all the time your body is screaming out, "You're not healed." Listen. You better put a corresponding action to it. Because your senses, if you don't, they'll go the other way with it. It's not the blatant word in your mouth. It's the word that comes out of the heart. It's the word that comes out of the heart that changes the mountain. That's what it is. I never understood when I was, and I'm still real, real faith. But the ultra faith people, I said this the other night, it's funny. I never understood, you know, they'd tell you, go in there, lock yourself up, and confess 500,000 times, "I am healed." Because someplace in it, you'll believe it. Well, I said, why 500? Well, it may take 500,000 times, but the essence is of this. And there's a truth to it. If you're ready to go in there, if you're willing, he said, faith works like this. You must believe that He is. That He is what? That He is the sum total of everything that He says He is. And if He says He's your healer, then He's your healer. And then the second part of faith is this. If you believe that He is, then you must have the guts. Oh, excuse me. The intestinal. Now I'm getting tongue-tied. Fortitude. In other words, you must have the stick-to-itness to believe this. He is, and He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Well, they said, just confess it and confess it and confess it. I said, okay. I can't remember. This is 999. A lot of times it would come. But I found out later on that if I could get in His presence through private worship, really saturate my soul and my spirit, and to bring my spirit under the same subjection, bring my soul. My soul was out there. My spirit believed it somehow, but my soul was giving me a fit. But somehow private worship, just staying in His presence, because He says He inhabits the praises of His people. Somehow it came and sedated. It anesthetized my. It put my soul under subjection. That's why He said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. How so? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart before the Lord. Why? Because in that, like a drunk man that's standing there seeing his house burn, and he doesn't know tomorrow morning he's going to wake up when he sobers up. It's not going to be funny. But right now, he's just laughing. It's burning down. I got a bunch. It's just, let's pour me another one. Wait, do you sober up, buddy? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, is that you could worship yourself into a place where you felt it so strong. Now, what you couldn't hardly do with 10,000 confessions, now just begin to say, Jesus, I call myself healed. You bore in your body my infirmities, and with your stripes I am healed. Now everything energizes, every word of it, and the beginning of the miracle starts in those words. That's why it's necessary. It comes from the heart. And they said, have you got to do it 1,000 times? And I couldn't understand. Now, wait a minute. I had to do the 1,000 times this. They'd catch me saying, oh, that scares me to death. And I didn't mean it was going to. They said, oh, God. X's, you got to help him, Jesus. You might die in a car wreck tomorrow just by saying, wait a minute. Now, I don't go around speaking negative. If I catch myself, I'll change it. But I thought, no, wait a minute. How could one negative word multiply so rapidly? And I've been 2 weeks confessing thousands of times in the positive. No. It doesn't work that way. It's out of the abundance of your heart. The devil convinces you that you're really sick. It'll come up. What's in there will come up. You'll belch. Even if you're speaking faith, acting like if your soul hasn't been transformed. Well, they heard. Their soul was transformed. And would you believe it? Sold out. Everything they owned. And come to a place they didn't know. To Immokalee, the metropolis. Just because God said, go help somebody receive a revival. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. They're the first of many. We're going to make you like the captain of the guard. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and let's just magnify Him a little bit. Father, we just worship You. I heard Him begin to say words like this. I've seen the hurt that You've been in and the misunderstandings that it feels like You cannot escape. Place of where it just feels like you're not being understood. Know this, purpose that I've purposed for you is to bring you to an expected end and put your whole life in front of you with hope, saith the Spirit of grace. For the enemy that you cannot see and oftentimes hides in the darkness and disguises himself as personalities around you. Know and understand that I've seen your place. I've seen your heart. And I've also seen the warfare, saith the Spirit of grace. It's my desire not only to bring your understanding to a heightened awareness so that you can win through the warfare that I've given you to launch, but know and understand that this warfare is a good warfare. It's not launched out of weakness, but it's launched out of strength. So that in those hours where you're feeling very vulnerable and very subject to misunderstandings and to those things that seem to be devouring your life, understand that I've provided a place of absolute peace in my presence. And I've provided a place where there is no misunderstanding in me. But I, as your Father, I have seen your thoughts afar off, and I've justified you through my grace, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. Dave says, hi, everybody. Called. Thank you. I was telling him about that. Why don't you tell us again? Come on, Lisa. Isn't that amazing? Well, you've been praying in the Spirit then, haven't you? You're getting a, we got up Friday night. Sunday morning crowd needs to hear. Hallelujah. Thank you. Just like you did.
Praise God.
Take your time.
Okay. Many of you know our daughter Kinsley, that if you sit around us, you know that she coughs a lot. She used to cough a lot. For about 3 years, we've been back and forth with doctors and not a lot of answers until June of this year. A different doctor than we had ever seen said, your daughter has asthma. So I was guilty of kind of being excited just to know what it was, because I hadn't had a lot of answers. And we had been through many medicines, nebulizer with different steroids and a lot of side effects and things that we just weren't happy with. And in November, when Dave was here, Kinsley was very sick, and we had been to the doctor. It was a Wednesday night. We had already been 3 times that week to 2 different doctors. And I was just crying. I just wanted my little girl back. She was not nice. She cried a lot. She was very shaky from the side effects of the medicine. School wasn't going well. We were just ready to be over it. And so Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and I guess Wednesday too, we had taken her out of here because she was coughing so much. She couldn't even stay in. But that Wednesday night, I was like, Lord, we gotta have some relief. So I brought her in when Dave had the prayer line, and I didn't tell him what we were here for. I didn't tell you that the other night, but I didn't tell him what we wanted prayer for. And the doctor had even given us some cough medicine that hadn't had any effect on her. She was still coughing the same amount. And in the middle of the night, that night, after I brought her up, Dave prayed for her, we went back to our seats, she still coughed and coughed and coughed. And then the middle of the night, that night, I woke up, and the Holy Spirit's just been revealing to me all week since I talked to you Friday night, different things. And I just was like, Lord, I'm done. We're not doing this anymore. He prayed, it's over with, we're healed. And so the next morning I just purpose in my heart that we wouldn't do the medicine. I would continue the antibiotics for another week, but not the 21 days that he had recommended. I just did the 10 days that you usually do, and by Thursday night we were in here, and she stayed the whole service, and she hasn't coughed since. So we just went. Thank you. We went this past week on Tuesday to the pulmonary doctor, who had been seeing her since June, and he said, I'm looking at her chest X-rays from August and September, the allergy testing and the lung test that we did here, and he said, she's got asthma. And I said, she hasn't been sick since November. And he said, well, we still need to keep her on this preventative medicine because, and I said, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing any more preventative medicines. We know that she's healed, and we're just going to take her home. And he said, okay, I'm good with that. So he said, if nothing happens, I'll see you in April. So we believe that he won't see her anymore. So we think she's, we know it. So thank you, Lord.
Really don't know what to do with that stuff. They really don't. And their brain wants to ooze out of their analytical head, and I'm not getting it to doctors. I love them. It's like it just wants to ooze out. Wait a minute, the X-ray shows. She asked her, what medicine have you had her on? I haven't had her on medicine. Well, her breathing's clear. That's right. There's nothing wrong with doctors. Especially the ones that are spirit-filled. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's just magnify it. I'm about to change your expectation, saith the Spirit of grace. I'm about to cause you to believe that all things are possible, saith the Spirit of grace. The change that you've been asking me for will materialize and come to pass right in front of your eyes, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. 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 Candy was reading something this week from one of my other favorite teachers, Dr. Jim Martin. And she said, well, all you guys sound the same. Well, we do. We all pray in tongues. Excessively. Paul said, I pray in tongues more than y'all. All collectively, the whole Corinthian church. He's telling them where he got his revelation knowledge from. What separates one from another? You couldn't get all the preachers in Immokalee together. They may love each other because they say we're covered by the blood. But put the word in front of them, you'll find out. On any given scripture, there's as much diversity as there was people in the room. There wasn't supposed to be like that. You have one teacher. And the fine-dressed gentleman at the board is none other than the Holy Ghost. And he's only really got one medium of exchange. It's through that illumination revelation gift. But Paul showed him. He said, I pray in tongues more than you all. Well, that's the reason why I could come. But he said, in the church, I'd rather speak just a few words that you, and the key word there is also, that you'd learn also. In other words, he said, I just told you how I got mine. But you could also have it. In other words, I could pass the revelation over to you. I could tell you and tell you how. Well, she said, you guys all sound the same. I said, what? She said, you know, Jim's teaching now on private worship. And so he's just amplifying. It sounds like it's the most important limb of the whole bunch. private worship. And I said, yeah, I know. I can been there and feel that. I still do. Step over into any time of worship and you'll know. You'll absolutely know. It's addictive. It is absolutely more addictive than you can describe. Presence comes to a place where it saturates and fills the room. It gets so addictive. If you're not careful, you'll go right back to it and back to it and back to it. And you're saying, wait a minute, am I neglecting the Word because of worship? No. But you get addicted. There's no drug that they ever come up with. Underground, overground, that can supply. Once you begin to get into that saturated euphoria, it's like everything turns pristine. It gets real clear. And then all that muddy stuff goes away. And then you're kind of checking yourself. You're like, wait a minute. I come in here with a whole lot of baggage. And I just feel so... just feels unbelievably good. It just feels like I'm a real winner. I mean, I was saying I was a winner coming in, but going out of that time, when He comes, when He baptizes your senses, it's like, and then the euphoria of being able to share, love, give to others. My God, you can't say enough about it. Private worship. But here's the thing. We all sound like that where we're at. And I found like whatever He wanted me to do, the priority was this. Whatever He wanted me to do that day or those hours or that time, that's what I do. But you know what I found? I don't know how to say it. I'm not going to say, okay, it's above. No, you couldn't say it that. You couldn't say it's above the Word. But you could kind of say it's a priority gift, the revelation gift. Paul ends 1:13 Corinthians by saying, now abides these, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these, you got to know, the champion, the big brother of them all, is love, charity. Yes. He doesn't stop, and there was no 13 and 14. It was just a continual writing. So he said, follow after charity. Follow after charity. Seek after spiritual gifts. He said, he that prayeth in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit. He said, for no man understands him. Why? Because it's a gift. Howbeit in the Spirit. He speaks mysteries. He that prophesieth speaketh unto men. Next verse. Unto edification, exhortation, and comfort. Those things happen. When a prophecy comes forth, something happens in it. If it's a true prophecy, it edifies, meaning it really builds you up. Exhortation is it gives you the wisdom to move forward if you hear the instruction. Edification from the Word of God is you're built up. It means edifice, means you're built up. Jude said you could build up your most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost. Edification builds you up. Exhortation directs you. It gives you the beginning of wisdom and direction to say, wait a minute, I see I can walk out of this thing and His promises are this. I hold to His promises. I hear His Word coming to me real sound in this prophecy. And this is the direction I'll take. And as a result, comfort comes. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that prophesies. But he that speaks in an unknown tongue. Next verse. Edifies himself. But he, and he reiterates, but he that speaks or prophesies, he said, edifies the church. What is he saying? He's saying this, the same edification that you get in prophecy is the same kind of edification you get to yourself when you speak in an unknown tongue, hour after hour, after hour, after hour, after hour. Hallelujah. You can get into a place where It just becomes so second nature to you. It's like living in a place and you forget after a while the habit that you pick up. It's a good one. If you're not, the amazing part is we had somebody from the Godhead come and decide, look, you're not smart enough to do your praying for you. If you'll let me, I'll do all your praying for you. Oh, that's a deal. I don't know how to receive a revival, but He does. I don't know how to get myself from where I'm at to where He says I'm going, but He does. And the more that I'll let Him, He'll pray those mysteries hour after hour after hour. The same edification that takes place in prophecy is the same. I'm edifying myself. And guess what? Those prayers and those mysteries don't just stay up there with God. They come back in edification, exhortation. He fills me with comfort. I understand where I'm going. He builds up my faith and I see absolutely the direction that I'm going. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Now listen, you don't think that He didn't provide a comforter for us to be used more expressively in these last days than ever before, especially when we're going in and saying, we are going to receive this revival, come hell or high water. Hallelujah. Hell or high water to us is something different. Described when I said that you can settle out of court. Listen, this could sound demeaning. Oh, little guy mad at the world, mad at big ministries. My God, I rejoice. I rejoice. In fact, if we stay around long enough, this right here will be a precious commodity. So how can you condemn somebody that you're going to a place where they're at? The only thing is, who built it? Who built it? I come out and sometimes look at these, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. I hope nobody comes in for the first time, especially certain services. I'm thinking, wait a minute. If they come in, they'd say, did you guys just start this fellowship? I mean, did you just know we've actually been going about 17 years? Oh, didn't mean to embarrass you. No, that's okay. Because numbers do not testify. In fact, yesterday, I didn't even start into it, I promise you. Dave, he just started into it, talking about it. And he said, you tell those people down there that's fighting that battle, that the battle that they're in right now, that there's nothing natural around them that proves to them that they're going to receive this outpouring. You tell them the only thing they can actually judge this thing on is the resistance and the fight and the warfare that's coming against them to stop them. To stop them. People's been fighting sickness, accidents occurring, this, that, and the other. He hates you and He hates us and He wants to stop us. Why? Because we won't settle for a gospel where it's just good enough to come in and say, hey, will you settle out of court? No, no. What's out of court? Oh, you know. Now, I have worked in big churches. And I can tell you this, I am not the most intelligent person in this room. Gaze bunch is here. But I know enough that systematically that I'm hot right now. Real hot. Hallelujah to God. And if I get hot, I'll stop preaching. No, if I get hot, I'll stay long. I'll keep preaching for hours. So y'all want me to get comfortable. I know enough that if I did certain things, that in 2 years, I could double it or triple it, even in this rural community. Advertising is one thing. The charisma through advertisement is great. That'll boost you up. The other thing, too, is turn more what would seem, and it could sound, this could be so misconstrued, it could sound like you're against those. No. The only thing is, we're not going to settle for a gospel that teaches people that are sick and afflicted how to go out and witness to other people and get them born again and let them stay in their sick and afflicted condition. The blind see, the lame walk. Amen. The deaf hear. Yes. The dumb speak. But if you'll he'll take you to college and you don't even know you're being schooled. He'll beat your brains in. And if you start looking, now I saw him, and I've seen him several times, but I saw him recently. But I mean, when I say I saw him, the enemy, I didn't see him literally, but I did see him in essence of what he brought. And what I saw when I saw it, I had more compassion, I guess, for many preachers that have been turned aside. One time I got up here and I never would name names, but I remembered about, and that was years ago, I remembered about 20-something preachers in local churches that have come and gone since I've been here. God just brought them in and then God just changed their vision. Now I can believe that on some, but you're going to, and then I can think of probably about 10, maybe 15 more cents. I don't know. You're going to tell me that he brings somebody in, that 30 or 40 preachers that come in for a while, and then God illuminates them. This is what I wanted you to do for this season of your life. Now pick up and move. I saw the pressure that was launched against a man's senses, to the place where he couldn't stand it anymore. He couldn't understand the emptiness. He couldn't understand the fight. He couldn't see beyond the scenes and see that there was a real personality, that if any one of those guys was really standing up and saying, we want to see a powerful move. Listen, you do not get applauded by hell. You know what revival consists of? Revival consists of this: you getting past everything the enemy can possibly launch against you, and you getting on the other side of it in victory. You know how many people, you know how many places you can usually count on one hand and probably have fingers left over that are living in a true New Testament outpouring revival. In fact, I cannot load up one of my little ones, fly them to any place on the planet presently, and absolutely 100% of the time know that when they walk in the door, that their eyes that are blind will be opened. But guess what? Not only to this place, but to every place on the planet that is truly, I mean, not just in fashion of their words spoken, but are truly lifting up hands and are doing the things that will take them in through fasting and prayer and mortification and that primary gift. And as I said, we all sound like every one of them's most important, but let me tell you, there is a priority gift, because that priority gift will keep you on the path where you get to the place where you begin to see those guys. See, your flesh will get real creative when it gets under pressure. When it gets under pressure and there's a lot of these emptiness and the cash isn't there, all of a sudden, or not all of a sudden, but gradually, God will begin to change your vision. You were here for a time and a season, but now it's time to pass the baton to somebody else. If it doesn't work that way, then it works like this. You get a guy with half cents like me, decently smart, been around and worked and run like 30-something cell groups. I had way more people in my cell groups that I was running for a church than I have for this local assembly right here. Well, I know how to do that. But I know how the advertisement helps. And I know how just 45 minutes of every week fellowship, coffee, and donuts and bagels will attract. Oh, it'll bring them in until there's no end. But I like what Andrew Womack said. He said, if you'll let me come to your church of 10,000 and let me preach, I mean the unadulterated word, within about 3 days, I'll have it shook down to about 1,500. The rest will leave. And if you'll give me 2 more weeks, I'll have it within under 500. But listen, when I saw that thing, he's ugly. And I don't blame or condemn those guys. I know why a lot of them got creative. I know why they believed, though he didn't change their ministry and change their call. Because pressure on the flesh eventually will start your creative mind thinking, wait a minute, God's got another plan. And I'm not just talking about preachers. Believe me, you that are sitting out there in your life, there's only one way, and that's God's way. There's only one way for you to go forward, and that's His way. If you concede and begin to do it any other way, Ishmaels will be born. There's Isaacs and Ishmaels. It will look good. Some of you are saying, I wish you'd prove that to me. That I just promise you that we could be 250, 300 in a year or two if I did certain things. I've got about 4 things, boom, 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 I know how to do. You need to go to double services too. And I'm not against that. The only thing is, if I ever had to go to double service, the last one would be the whenever service. Because we would not stop the move in this one. How are you going to schedule one move, get them in and get them out, when the anointing is so strong that the blind is seeing, the lame is walking, the deaf is hearing, the dumb is speaking. And that convenience is what... It's what the flesh loves. It loves to be able to go to church, enjoy fellowship, sit down, hear a 20-minute sermonette, and then it's, wow, I feel good about myself, and please don't mention sin, and please don't mention me changing. Please don't mention my excesses. One of the things I found about my father more than anything else, he loves me as much as he loves the people that he's trying to heal. And I'm saying, Daddy, I want a revival. And he's saying, I'll get you there. But keep praying in tongues. Because if you keep praying in tongues, whatever you need to stand when you get there, hallelujah. It'll keep you, it'll not only take you into revival, it'll keep you in the midst of revival. Amen. Hallelujah. Because that case hardened steel, see, this is the only one I want for the rest of my life. But if you got one of those little tiny swimmers, it's not even lust. It's just a little bit of looky-loo too much sometimes. It's not really even, you can't even qualify it as lust, but it's just a little bit of looky-loo. You keep praying, God, give me revival, give me revival. And He comes every time you fast and say, you know what? You want to close that door? I can come a little stronger if you'll close that door. No, I like that a little bit. You know, that's my little pet. Keep it in my pocket right here. I don't have to confess it. It went to that point, but gives me a little high. Guess what? You keep pressing into God. There's somebody else watching you press in too. In fact, He won't even, even if it goes to sin, He won't even expose it. until it gets to a place where really somebody knows who you are. They get you on TV and then your face is all over Southwest Florida. And then the little mouse. You turn around one day, my God, it's Godzilla. Where you been? I've been growing. Been growing. See, the thing that he loves me like he loves them. Inside of revival, we'll be able to make the stand. And the flesh that he could come and put the squeeze on, I mean put it on to the place where, how in the world did that guy fall? My God, how did he fall? In our day and hour, it got to the place where it wasn't another better looking one, which you couldn't get of these. It wasn't the Eves that they were leaving for, it was the Steves. They said he was in one place and it was coming out against somebody, it was coming out again about another guy, another preacher that was, and somebody just, one of the guys, somebody just yelled out and said, oh my God, what happened? Whatever happened to just good old fashioned sin? You know, the natural order of things. It's gone to something else. But don't believe for a moment that whatever's in there, if that revelation gift, it's not only a revelation gift. He said it's through the Spirit. You mortify. That word mortify means, same word you get the word mortician, means dead. You keep praying in tongues long enough, whatever's in you, all the stuff that you don't want there, and here's the real important part, all the stuff that you want there, it starts falling off. It starts falling off. Let me tell you something. He's getting revival to us as quickly as He possibly can. But you intercessors, don't stop praying. And mainly, pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It'll get to the place where, I mean, I don't live in some kind of glass. I mean, I enjoy life. Candy and I, on our date days, we're listening to the 50s or something, and we're just having a good time. But in between, I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, and I don't even know it. I'm reading a hunting magazine and praying in the Holy Ghost. Sitting on a deer stand, praying in the Holy Ghost. In the shower, Holy Ghost. You know, you ought to be able to say you couldn't calculate it. But really, you ought to be able to say at the end of the day, unless you were just had the kind of job where you had to talk continually, you ought to know emphatically that you spoke far more words in the Holy Ghost than you did with your English. For some of you, that is almost an impossibility. But it is possible. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Many of you men and women that have been going through something tremendously physically. Some of you have went through some terrible things in the last year or so. But make sure you guys call each other. There's edification in that. And a lot of you already do. You ladies, lift each other up, mainly in prayer. But as the Holy Spirit speaks, call each other. Homer's been teaching on fellowship like that. That God kind of fellowship that builds us up. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, we worship You. Lord, I'm asking, not that the war will be magnified in front of our eyes so that we put our eyes on it, but that it will be magnified in reality, the reality of what is there, so that we can stand against it. So that every brother and every sister draws their sword and shield, and also, Lord, carries a flask of healing oil in their being. That we're able to fight the enemy with a vengeance like there's no tomorrow. And hate the enemy and love our brothers. And pour in, like the Samaritan, the wine and the oil to their hurts, to their wounded parts, to the hurts of their bodies, to the hurts of their minds, and to the hurts, Lord God, during this time of spiritual warfare. Raise up the standard through your intercessors. I thank you that Immokalee is in revival. Lord, our boast that we will not quit is not of ourself, but it is of Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we make our stand in that. And we bless these, your people, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful day.